Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, guys, here's some of the deals that we got going on at Solace Meds throughout the entire month of October. Dixie Gummies, 25% off. Solace Bars, 25% off. New Solace Sticks, those are brand new, 25% off. Mile High Extractions, also 25% off. You can get Summit for 25% off. And 1906 Drops, also for 25% off. They've also got Halloween specials going on. When we get to Halloween, October 30th, October 31st, the entire store, you can buy three, get one free on any product. October 31st on Halloween, get a goodie bag with a purchase of $50 or more. Of course, when you stop into any of the four Solace Meds locations, they got one in Fort Collins, one in Wheat Ridge, one off Broadway, one blocks away from the DNVR bar on East Colfax. Drop the code DNVR20, get 20% off your entire purchase every single time. Also, get a free Solace bar or King Cone as well. Again, valid at any of those four Colorado locations.
The mailbag, the Monday mailbag. Two more days of off season, Harrison.
It's almost the on season.
Almost the on season, indeed. What is up, everybody?
Finally.
And welcome into a Monday mailbag edition of the DNVR Nuggets podcast. The last Monday of the off season. NBA season begins tomorrow. Denver Nuggets season begins on Wednesday. We are officially here. We made it. We made it, boys and girls.
We've made it to the on season, and you still haven't filled up your bookshelf. What the hell, man?
I got time. I got one more day.
The people are waiting.
Oh, my God. They're going to have to keep waiting, sadly. I have started the process of thinking about what I will put on my bookshelf. So one step slightly, ever so slightly.
Any teasers you want to throw out there for the people?
No, because I said I've only been thinking. I haven't decided.
So yeah, you don't want to get anybody's expectations up, you know.
I definitely don't want to do that. You know I will under-deliver on that. We're presented, as always, guys, by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, right there above Harrison's head. Promo code DNVR when you sign up. You get all those great deals. If you haven't joined us for the gambling fest that is DraftKings Sportsbook, it's so much fun, guys. You don't have to put a ton of money on. I usually put, like, very, very, very low amounts of money on games where I just trying to get a little extra excitement or a prop that I just want to root for a little extra hard during the games. And of course, it's always good motivation for that. Today's episode, Mailbag Monday, we're going to have a bunch of questions, mailbag questions that you guys submitted to us. So we'll be popping those up. But first, Harrison, you were at Denver Nuggets practice today. Ominous reports from one Brendan Vogt over the weekend about the vibe around practice not being so great. Was the vibe a little bit better today as we get closer to the season?
The vibe was definitely better. But I think what Vogt was telling us about the vibe on Saturday, like, that was definitely true. There's been a lot of frustration throughout this training camp. There's been a little, like, antsiness to the last couple weeks of the season because the Nuggets did not look good at all in the preseason. They really didn't look like a complete team. They didn't look like the team that Mike Malone wanted them to look like. And he hasn't hid his frustration one bit. So I think some of that boiled over Saturday. Today, though, Yes. Predictably a much better practice, a better tone. I think we got some good insights on, you know, who's been vocal behind the scenes, calling teammates out and whatnot. But I still think there's a little bit of uneasiness from Michael Malone with the season opener 48 hours away. Right. But I think he thinks they're back heading in the right direction.
So I saw your tweet, and this is what I wanted to ask about. Jokic called out the team and Jeff Green. I want to hear about both of them, but in particular, was this was after the game in the locker room, or was this during a practice that Jokic sort of let guys know, hey, we're not where we're supposed to be?
I believe this was after a practice because Malone said it was after a scrimmage.
Okay.
Maybe the Nuggets considered that final preseason game in Tulsa a scrimmage. I don't know.
Right, right.
They played their entire bench only, so maybe. But I think this was after a scrimmage at practice. It might have been today. I don't believe Malone said the exact day that it was, but today or, you know, maybe Saturday. But he pretty much just said, like, guys, we look like crap.
Yeah.
Like, we're just pretty much running around there with no purpose. Jokic said this to his team. You know, we're not playing our type of defense. We're not running our plays. We don't know our plays. We're playing with no purpose. So Jokic definitely called out everybody. Malone said that today. Jeff Green has also apparently spoken up, just unsolicited, a couple different times. Will Barton has also been vocal, it sounds like, calling people out and getting on his guys. So people are stepping up. Malone, of course, said Saturday, he rattled off the line about them having a quiet team, which is something we've heard for the last 4 years.
More than that.
So that hasn't
more than
changed,
that. I think it's been
like.
7 years. I think it's been 7 years since they've had a quiet team.
Yeah. Yeah. So that hasn't changed. But it does seem like guys are – it's gotten to the point where people are calling each other out.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting, first and foremost, just that it's Jokic. I mean, look, it's not like this is the first time he's ever spoken up in this kind of way, but – I have commented on, as the Jokic whisperer, I have commented on Jokic being a little irritable, it seems like, in this preseason early on. And I wonder if he does just, you know, Murray's not here. Murray, I don't know if Murray's a guy that brings everyone in, like, hey, let's come into the huddle. I just think he plays with a chip on his shoulder. And I'm sure in practices, I'm sure he's going at guys nonstop to make sure they know who the top dog is. And maybe not having that has fostered a little bit of laziness and just everybody being on their heels. So it's interesting to me that he had that to say. Did any of the players – so who spoke today, players-wise?
It was just Will. And Will did talk a little bit about how he's spoken up. He didn't really say much in detail, but he definitely acknowledged that he and other guys have been talking up.
Okay. Well, it's interesting to know. Go ahead.
I think you're on the right track with Jokic, though. I think they've just looked super sloppy, and he's been like, all right, guys, like, enough screwing around. It's go time. Like, the season starts literally on Wednesday. We're playing a really good team. The beginning of our schedule is really tough. Like, the first 20 games of our schedule is tougher than it's been in years past. We got to, like, get our ass in gear. Like, this is the real thing now. So I think you're kind of on the right track. He's just kind of like, come on. Like, this is the time is now. Like, let's get on with it already.
I know Michael Malone also mentioned Jeff Green, and it reminds me of a Millsap as the quote you put out there where it's when he speaks, people listen, as if he doesn't use his voice a lot. And that's why it's extra special sort of when he does. What can you tell me about that, that interaction?
Well, Jeff Green seems like he's called out his guys a couple different times. I think he also said some things after this recent scrimmage. I think he's also spoken up at times during the preseason. And you know, unlike Millsap, Jeff Green's coming into this thing. He just got here like a couple months ago. You know, Paul was here for 4 years. So it's Jeff Green coming from a situation in Brooklyn where I'm sure there was a lot of calling out on the Brooklyn Nets like team last year. Yeah, they were a really good team, but I think guys in that Brooklyn Nets locker room probably aren't afraid to call each other out and just speak their mind. So he was coming from that into a much quieter team in Denver. Like, as loud as the Nets were, that's how quiet the Nuggets must be. So he, it seems like, hasn't really been afraid to let his voice be heard.
Yeah. It's interesting. It'll be something to watch develop. I mean, part of me thinks it's needed, especially this year. I mean, we talked about where can Jokic kind of grow, but I do wonder, and maybe we'll see it more this year than ever before, what that vacuum of leadership from Murray is, and you know, how the Nuggets can kind of work around it. I definitely feel like early returns, and these are super early, they're preseason returns, show that there is a little bit of a void there and a little bit of a vacuum. The team has not been as sharp as they have been in years preseasons past, so maybe it gets that flip gets switched here early. You would hate for that flip to get switched because you start 1-4 again. Like, that's, you don't want to have to get in the hole to where it's like, okay, we have to get early. There's consequences and fallout from that. All right, what else did Michael Malone have to say today at practice?
Well, it's funny that you bring up Jamal Murray, because we spoke about this, or I think I reported on this back during training camp, but Jamal Murray is going to be very involved this season, like from a coaching perspective. I think Malone was talking about on Media Day how he's going to be doing some of the scouting reports and whatnot. And for, I think it was the last preseason game, or maybe one of the preseason games, Murray actually did like the personnel report for the Suns. And then Malone was saying that today, when guys were getting beat, like when guys were like, or when, I don't remember what game it was, but when the Nuggets defense was getting beat, Jamal was like calling people out from the sideline. It was like, I told you he was going left, stuff like that. So Jamal's very involved still. And Malone was talking today about how, you know, that's going to be needed for him to stay involved as he, you know, spends a big chunk of time here rehabbing. So that's going to be something else to track, I think. Jamal Murray as the assistant coach, kind of putting his imprint on the team that way.
It's funny, like, I told you he was going to go left is not exactly coaching. It's more shit talking, I think, at that point.
But it was something like in the personnel report. This wasn't the example. I'm just making this up. It's like, Josh Giddey always goes left. Don't let him get to his left hand. And that happened. Right, and then Jamal was like, I told you that's what we needed to watch out for.
The entire roster should be pissed off about Josh Giddey two games in a row looking like an all-star. A rookie looking like an all-star against almost a triple-double in the second game. Like, that's the kind of stuff where, okay, it happens for a half and you tighten up. But when a rookie like that look, Giddey, I think, can be really good. But everything we know about him, it's, oh, he's a project. You know, it might take a couple years. A guy like that goes off against you. I'm sorry. You have to – there's a level of pride that I just feel like, again, a Jamal Murray wouldn't – He understands, like, no, I never let a rookie get the better of me. I can't let that happen. So kind of interesting. All right. What
You're
else
probably not the least bit surprised about this, but I'm a big Josh Giddey guy.
Definitely huge not at all Josh surprised. Giddey. You do have a tie.
Everybody could see that one coming. But yeah,
everybody could
Giddey.
See that one coming. All right. What else from Malone today?
What else did Malone have to say? Will was talking about this. Malone didn't really touch on it because he never does. But Will was talking about how, look, the first opponent's Phoenix, and I think Denver's going to really get up for that game. Now, look, it's a season opener. Both teams are going to get up for it. Like, the Suns, that environment in Phoenix, probably the first game back after a finals run, is going to be pretty crazy. But I get the sense from what Will had to say today that, like, the Nuggets, the 4-0 sweep is very much in their mind still. They think they have unfinished business from last year. So I think Denver really wants this opener, and they want it because it's Phoenix. I think there's not bad blood, but Denver's still pissed off about that series, and they're very cognizant that the opener's against the Suns.
Yeah, okay. A little extra motivation for that one. I got to be honest, I'm a little extra nervous. They're 6.5-point underdogs, by the way, which is that's like – if you're a good team, you don't ever really get more than 6.5 points. That's kind of a lot. That basically means the line is saying they think this is going to be a butt whooping, which, you know what? Who knows? Maybe it is.
Look, I could really see, you know, this season starting out how I think a lot of us think it might start out. I don't know about you, but I was talking with some people at practice today. Like, would I be surprised if Denver goes something like 5-5 in their first 10 games?
Well, we're going to get to that.
I would not be surprised at all. So,
one of our mailbag questions today is about that very thing. And if you look at the schedule, there's some tough ones, but we'll get to it. Anything else from Will Barton?
No. I just get the sense that, kind of like I was talking about earlier, there's just some anxiety about where this team is at right now. I don't think anybody's really super panicking, but they're definitely not like comfortable with where they're at. I feel like heading into, you know, the opener, like I said, 2 days away. Yeah. Can't believe it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's interesting. And then what about just the general mood? I mean, again, you kind of hinted at this, but it sounds like guys were less pressured or less down or grumpy than they were over the weekend.
Yeah. The vibe seemed good today. The guys seemed upbeat. Jamal was doing a lot of shooting work. I mean, I tweeted a video out of this, but moving around pretty well.
What do we have there? I guess that was some music. All righty, interesting. Should we hit a mailbag question one before we get it? It sounds like that's it for it from notes from there. So let's hit the first one, Kale, at the top of the list here from the homie Miroslavo. This is our big question for today. How many wins do the Nuggets need to have in their first 10 games so you would call it a successful start? So here's the interesting thing, and actually, you know what? I'll go ahead and hijack right here and take over the screen here because I have the Nuggets' schedule pulled up right in front of me. Zoom in a little bit. So you have 5 road games and 5 home games in this start here. The road games are at Phoenix, at Utah on the second night of a back-to-back.
Tougher.
At Minnesota, at Memphis 2 times in a row, which is just kind of ridiculous. Like you play Memphis in a back basically 2 times. It's such a weird schedule.
A lot of barbecue during that trip.
So you get 5 road games. If we just look at these road games, Phoenix, as I mentioned, Denver is, you know, if they win that one, it would be an upset, a pretty good size upset. At Utah on the second night of a back-to-back, again, going to be an upset. By the way, 2 nationally televised games, go figure. Minnesota, that game, Denver should be favored, but not by much. It's also the second night of a back-to-back, so it actually might be more of a pick 'em. And then the 2 Memphis games, I'm guessing Denver will be slight underdogs on. So they will be underdogs in 4, if not 5, out of the 5 road games. That's pretty tough. And then home should be favored against San Antonio, favored against Cleveland, slight favorites against Dallas, you know, decent favorites against Dallas. And then you have Houston and Miami.
Here's the other thing, Adam. 3 of the first 6 games on national TV. 3 right. of the first 5 games, national TV.
Classic NBA, man. I swear to God they do this where they're like, where are the Nuggets most likely to suck? Let's put them on there. Second night of a back-to-back at Utah. Let's do it. Let's put them on.
Yeah.
I look at this, Harrison, and honestly, to feel good, like if they went 6-10 or 6-4, I kind of feel like that would be positive. I would look at that and I would say that was a tough schedule. 6-4 is a pretty good record out of it. If I was to feel really good, like, okay, this is a great start, 7-3.
I would have said 7-3, 6-4 before the preseason. After the preseason, if they get out of this stretch at 5-5, I think that's honestly okay. And there's some tough games here, man.
That's the thing. If you told me what do I expect, I would expect 5-5. That's why I say 6-4 would be a success. Okay. Like, okay, 5-5 to me is not a success or a failure. 4-6 would be. That's like, okay, that's a disappointing start. But 6-4 to me, I'd be like, that's good. 7-10, it's like, oh, man, this team might be better than I thought.
5-5 to me would just be getting through it. You don't feel too good. You don't feel too bad. And then you get into a little easier portion of the schedule. Like that home game against Houston could be a little get-right game.
Right.
You know, there are some other tough games here early. But if they just get through the first 10 games, 500 without any injuries, just like if they're trending up, even though they go 5-5, I think that's honestly okay.
Yeah. So that's an interesting one. Let's take a break. While we're on this break, guys, give us your prediction for what they will go and what you would consider a successful start, you know, given that 10-game schedule. We'll take on the other side, though, we do have a bunch more questions. I think we have like 12 questions in total, and they're all pretty good ones. So we'll get to those.
Yeah.
Kale, I can handle that. I got look what I got here. Boom.
Oh, okay. Maybe lower that attack.
Okay.
Guys, make sure to pick up some Mile High City Copper Lager this week from Breck Brew. Make sure you got some on tap for opening night, Wednesday, in Phoenix against the Suns. I think I don't know if I can hear the music anymore. There we go. You can pick up some Mile High City Copper Lager from your local liquor store. Most grocery stores have it as well. If you're out in the Littleton area, they've got some at the Breck Brew Farmhouse, of course. Really cool spot out there. Great food, great drinks at the Breck Brew Farmhouse. Pick up some Mile High City Copper Lager from Breck Brew this week. If it's not Mile High City Copper Lager, make sure it's another Breck Brew. Strawberry Sky, the Juice Drop, Breck Brew Seltzers as well. Those are amazing. So make sure to pick some up this week. Also, guys, we're now sponsored by Sexy Pizza here at DNVR. I just had some sexy pizza this weekend at the Broncos tailgate. You were there, Adam.
I may or may not have brought some there. Home with me, some leftovers. I may or may not right. have some in my fridge.
We have so much sexy pizza at the tailgates that there's usually leftovers. And we have a lot of people at the tailgates, too. Hundreds.
Sneaky. I don't think I should advertise this, but sneaky good idea. Show up to the tailgate and then just wait around to the end. Grab a bunch of pizzas
in your car. Yeah. Definitely come hungry, though. Don't eat before the tailgate. Like, we definitely have a lot of sexy pizza there. But the tailgates are awesome. Stop in before the next Broncos home game. Also, if you're not coming to the tailgate, you can just go to a sexy pizza location. They got a couple across Denver. They've got one up in the Highlands. They've got one on South Pearl Street. Tons of great stuff on the menu. Great sides. Garlic knots are fire as well. Really good salads, too. So make sure to check out Sexy Pizza today. They got wings as well. They got dessert options. They got vegan options as well. They got a gluten-free crust. So everything that you could possibly want, Sexy Pizza has it. Four Denver locations, Cap Hill, South Pearl, Jefferson Park, and Park Hill as well. A new location also coming in Trinidad, Colorado. Keep your eye out for that.
Trinidad, Colorado. I like how Nuggets fans are already in their nervous phase. And like early in the season, you're a little bit nervous. Like, they might go 3-7. I don't know. An annual tradition. Nuggets fans freaking out. All righty, Kale, what do we have? Mailbag rolls on. Actually, first, before the mailbag. Guess what? Wednesday, the season starts. You know what that means. Our first Denver Nuggets watch party at the DNVR bar is Wednesday.
Oh, baby.
I'm telling you, it is time to reintroduce yourself into the wild known as the DNVR bar. So if you're in town, you're thinking about where you want to watch it, no better place on earth. And by the way, make this your routine. We have a bunch of regulars. You want to, you've been sitting on the sidelines thinking about it. Become a regular. Come to the watch party, 8 o'clock game Wednesday night. And if you're there, by the way, you know what I'm going to be eating on Wednesday, Harrison?
What's that?
The Bronco Burger. The Bronco Burger, which is the number one burger in all of the world, not just Denver, not just Colorado, but the entire world. I can't wait. I'm having that, and I'm excited for it.
Nice. I'm more excited for that burger than to watch the Broncos next week.
We should rebrand it to the Nuggets Burger. That burger is a winner.
Yeah, like now it's pretty much just a 500 burger, you know.
Exactly. All right, what do we have, Kale? Let's hit this next one. All right, okay. Happy Monday, bros. If you could ask the genie, I love the genie, the DNVR genie, for one wish on the season, what would it be? Obnoxious answers only, please. Mine would be for Coach.
I actually see the genie at the bar right now. I could actually just go ask him.
You could ask the genie what he wants. To throw a chair to the half-court logo after a no-call, that one would be a lot of fun. Is there a ridiculous question you would ask for the genie?
Oh, man. I would love for Michael Malone to get kicked out of a game and for Jamal Murray to be the assistant that steps up.
Oh, my God. That's the perfect one. Are you kidding me? That's the number one. I'm not going to be able to beat that. Nobody's going to be able to beat that.
So get this. I joked with Malone about that today, and then he actually kind of divulged some details about how Jamal's staying involved. But we did get some clarity that Jordy Fernandez is the now defensive coordinator. Okay. He's moved up to the defensive coordinator after Wes Unseld left for DC.
I was wondering. That's a good insight. Yeah. Okay. Do we know anything about Jordy Fernandez's defensive philosophy?
I don't, to be honest. I've always looked at him as, you know, like an all-around coach. I don't think he really had a specialty per se. But everybody speaks really highly of Jordy. Players, coaches, execs. People think he's going to be a head coach eventually.
I think so. My obnoxious genie request would be for her. Oh, this is said. The genie would 100% grant this too. This is right up the genie's alley. For Bones Island to hit a logo three in the Rose Garden, what's it called? The Moda Center.
And then point to his wrist.
And then, you know, if he wants to, he seems a little more respectful. Bones, sneaky thing we've learned. He does the flex, which I love. Like when skinny guys do the flex, it's like the best thing ever. And that's his go-to is he does like a, I'm big. That's it. Cracks me up.
What if Michael Malone, remember when George Karl wore a jersey to a game because his suit was like dirty or something? What if Malone like just wore a jersey on the sideline? How far can he push the casual dress code?
I would really love it if an NBA coach, it's probably going to have to be an ex-player from this era, really pushes the dress code rules the way that the players have. If now that you don't have to wear a suit, which coach would it be that just keeps getting like Ty Lue or something, just keeps wearing a little bit more crazy and crazier outfits?
I can see Popeye getting a little casual on the bench.
The full Russell Westbrook, like just like jeans with all kinds of holes in them and stuff. And it's like, hey man, this is actually high fashion.
He's like getting photographed when he's walking into the arena too, in the tunnel. He's getting in on those.
More drip than the players. I'm with it. All right, Kale, let's move on. What else do we got? Do the Nuggets make any trades before February? This comes from Jay Middles. It's a good question. We've talked about this a little bit on our season preview. I'm going to say yes. I think the Nuggets absolutely do. They've got a lot of players. They've got some overlap. The trade deadline is such an interesting – the Nuggets are in such an interesting spot with regard to the trade deadline is that – it's happening probably a month before Murray returns, maybe a couple weeks before he returns. So you start to prepare for Murray's return, but you actually won't have him. And there might be a trade out there that sets you up both short-term and long-term, but it just doesn't set you up for a three-week stretch. It's like, hey, we're going to be really light on guards for about 3 weeks, but after that, we've become much more well-rounded. But I think, yes, I think there is a trade.
It seems like something's going to have to give with the guard depth because – as it stands now, you know, let's just say what we think is going to be the guard rotation is the guard rotation. Austin Rivers isn't in the rotation right now. Bones has jumped him at the backup shooting guard spot. So I don't think Austin Rivers is going to be thrilled about that. Like, it's not going to become a problem in the locker room or anything, but I don't think that's what he had envisioned coming into this season. In fact, I know it wasn't. Like, he has spoken pretty openly how he thought he's going to be the backup shooting guard when he was coming back here. Obviously, he didn't think he was going to get jumped by the number 26 pick in the draft. Look, things can change. You know, maybe he jumps Bones after, you know, the first couple weeks or whatever. So if he's out of the rotation to start, and then when Jamal comes back, you're going to have to kick another guard out of the rotation. It just seems like something's got to give there.
Yeah. I would say I put this on, I think, the Monte Morris preview or the PJ Dozier one. I still see a world in which the Nuggets might move on from Amonte because they feel like, again, to your point, they have a Bones, they have a PJ Dozier behind them, and maybe they feel like Monte has, you know, he's capable of moving on. They feel comfortable moving on from him and freeing up some money for another spot. So I think yes, but the most likely one, it's mentioned right here by Evan McKee, Bol Bol is the final year of his deal. I don't think Denver has long-term plans for him. I don't think they have short-term plans for him. So if they could move on from him and maybe recoup something, I think that would happen. So definitely could happen. By the way, I also could see them trading PJ Dozier. I mentioned Monte Morris. Dozier is the one who's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. So that it might even be where he's so good, but they feel like they can get something for him. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, good question, though. What's next, Gail? True Society King says, how would you fix the Nuggets bench problems if you were Malone? If I was Malone. This is such a tough question, man. I'll let you take
this. This is the million-dollar question.
Malone's really good and really smart, and I don't know that he has an answer for this just yet.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm kind of worried about Faku this year. Just damn. He looked really rough in the preseason.
He did.
The Nuggets want to shoot more threes this year. They got up the fifth most threes per game in the preseason in the entire league. And Faku, I think, like, what, 1 for 15 or like 1 for 12 from three. The shot, I don't have a lot of confidence in it. I just wonder if you make a change there. Maybe that means like Bones and Austin Rivers in the backcourt, but then you're kind of losing some ball handling. There's not an easy answer. That's the problem. If there was an easy answer, we probably would have seen it by now. Yeah, it's tough. You always can always think about, you know, staggering MPJ with the bench unit. You know, that could work a little bit. That would definitely give you more offense. You'd lose something defensively, though, for sure. And like last year and even this year, I think if that bench unit is good, its calling card is going to be defense. So I don't have an answer, I guess.
I wonder how many minutes Michael Porter and Jokic need to play together, because they're going to start games together. They're going to close halves together. They're going to close games together. So they're going to already have bunches of minutes together. But I wonder if the answer – Michael Porter has been so good without Jokic. And that bench needs a guy that's a guy. I wonder if the answer for this is if MPJ is the first guy to go to the bench and then he comes back in to play extended minutes with the second unit. I wouldn't be surprised if that was something that a spot they arrive at, and it might be a great spot for him to be in. Scoring is obviously a part that they are missing in that second unit. I think the type of scoring matters, and Michael Porter, while he does provide scoring, he doesn't put pressure on the rim the way a true center would, and I think that's something they're missing. But nonetheless, it might be a way to get the most out of Yoke, the most out of MPJ, and maybe that really works out. Is there a cop outside?
Yeah, ambulance just literally pulled up.
I'm telling you, the best it's the Colfax, man. That's how you know you're in the right spot.
Once a show,
there's an ambulance that goes down Colfax.
Like once every hour.
That's pretty funny. So who would you if Michael Porter was to go to the bench early, who would you bring in to play alongside to take that small forward-ish spot?
You know, you might think I'm crazy, but I might say Bones. You slide Barton to the three, you play Bones and Monte Morris in the backcourt together. Just because, like, that lineup, part of the reason it's so deadly is because everybody, you know, on that lineup, that starting lineup, is a really good shooter, except for Aaron Gordon. And right. So, like, if you had Bones out there, you'd still have that floor spacing. So my first thought would be Bones, actually.
Man, I don't know.
Although, if you had Dozier, I mean, Dozier's the most likely choice.
I think that's my answer, but yeah.
Yeah. Just because defensively, he'd help you out a lot. Like, that unit would be very good defensively, I think, with PJ Dozier there.
It'll be interesting to see what Malone does. I don't know that what he did in the Oklahoma City game is going to be what he does opening night, and that's kind of interesting for Denver. This is, again, where does the preseason matter? Not so much, but Yoke missing training camp, then missing some games. You do wonder if they know what their rotation is right now, and do they have to stumble through a few games to figure that out? I don't know.
So I wonder if a lot of what happened in that OKC game, because you're talking about MPJ going to the bench early and then him coming in as the backup four. JaMychal Green didn't play in that game. So I wonder if some of that was like JaMychal Green would be playing these backup 4 minutes, but he's out tonight.
Yeah, maybe. All right, Kale, what else we got? OG Mile High Fan says, is this Adam's favorite or least favorite time of year? Nuggets start, but birds flying south for winter. All right, a little bit of a joke one. You know, here's the thing. So I
don't think this is a joke.
Well, because I have a real answer, right? Whether it's a joke or not, I have actual thoughts on this one. First of all, birds flying south for the winter, there's birds that live north of Colorado that fly to Colorado for the winter. So you really get different types of birds all year. There's not really more or fewer birds this time of year. There's just different ones. But second of all, you know what I saw today, Harrison?
What's that?
Bird corner here? I saw a purple-headed mallard. Very rare. Very rare. They're usually
like
green.
Like mallard as in the duck?
Yeah, the duck. I saw a purple-headed one. It's like, you know, one out of every 1,000 or so. And I saw one swimming in the pond behind my house. So I was extremely pumped for it. Couldn't take a picture so far away.
That was a hell of a way to start your Monday.
Oh, it was an incredible, such a good omen, if you want to know the truth. A very good omen. It's actually, I said purple, but it's like a bluish purple. It's like a very deep blue-purple combo. It's pretty great. What was the other question? Oh, this time of year? I would say it. My favorite time of year, for basketball purposes, this is probably second. Playoffs are still number one, but the start of the season is also like excitement's pretty damn high.
Yeah, we really do live on every win and every loss at the start of the season.
It's
every win, the Nuggets out are going to win a championship. Every loss.
When do you think the first
Jokic is leaving town?
The first Nuggets melt like online meltdown will happen.
Oh, it's going to happen opening night.
Opening night at some point in the games, though. Those teams not the
It's going to be when Phoenix comes out of halftime and goes on a 10-0 run to start the third quarter.
I told you Gordon's a bad signing. Try to tell you guys. Some people online. All right, what else? Let's hit one more here. I don't know how to say this one. Gochoof. You get to take one player from any point in Nuggets history to replace with Jamal Murray until he's healthy. Who is it and why? Harrison, we're playing the hits.
This is one of the hits, and I'm going to give you my same answer that I give for this question every time. It's Chauncey Billups.
Every week we get the same question. I love it. You're right. It is Chauncey Billups. Of course that's the right answer. It would be an incredible replacement for Jamal Murray. Might even be like an upgrade on Jamal Murray. So maybe not. But he'd be pretty damn good. The Nuggets would have – they'd probably be 5-0 in the preseason. Highland would win Rookie of the Year just because he has a veteran to lead the way. There's no question about it. That's the right answer.
Next, we're going to go to, should the Nuggets bring Will Barton off the bench? Kale, cue it up.
Do we have it, Kale? Is there a Nugget off the bench? Magic Kimura says, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being Aaron Gordon chill and 10 being playing in Golden State at Chase Center, how worried are you about the bench performance coming into the season? The scale... I like the scale. I don't know if it necessarily makes sense on this, how worried are you about the bench? Harrison, I'll let you go first.
I'm pretty close to the Nuggets playing at Chase Center. I'm pretty close to that, man. I don't have a lot of concerns about this team. One of my low-key concerns, that's not really a concern, it's just more of a thought, is like, why are the Nuggets going away from what's worked on offense in the entire Jokic era and trying to shoot more threes when they've just routinely posted a top five offense pretty easily. I'm not worried about that. That's just a thought I have. But the bench is really my one main concern. It looked really bad in the preseason. It was a question mark last year. And it's just my biggest concern and like my only concern, really. So, that's going to be the thing to watch, particularly over the first several games. Does the bench look as disastrous as it did in the preseason? Because if it did, that's a problem.
It's so funny to me the way the Friday show was always fun. Of course, if you guys missed it, you have to go back and watch it. Our annual tarot card season prediction episode with Ariana Lenarski. It's always fun. But it was funny to me because it talked about Faku being the key to the bench. And I really do think it's so like that to me is the key. Faku came into last season with so much enthusiasm and effort and energy. And you thought, okay, he has some flaws, but you know what? He's pure adrenaline injected into the team. And that's a positive. This preseason, at least, we haven't noticed that as much. Maybe this is him. Like he has less to prove or felt he had less to prove, but I just wonder, I don't love the trio of Dozier, Rivers, and Faku. I don't really even love if you put Bones in there for any one of those guys. I still don't know if that's enough in your backcourt. And so I'm not sure Denver has a perfect solution there. And that's the reason I'm concerned. But if Faku plays to his potential and plays better, I do think he can maybe salvage that lineup. I'm just not sure he's even going to be the guy that gets that spot. Like him and Austin Rivers, I think Faku has the lead now, but it's not like a lock to me.
Yeah, I think he has the lead now. Like, I think the Nuggets want that to be the bench lineup.
Sure.
Faku, Bones, Dozier, and Dos Verdes. like, that's what Denver wants it to be. But, like, if that really doesn't work, you know, after the first 6-7 games, I wonder if the Nuggets change it up. You know, I wonder how quickly Michael Malone looks to make big adjustments like that and change up his rotation if things just aren't working out of the gate.
So where do the Nuggets play, Harrison?
Ball Arena?
That's right. Are they a partner of ours?
They are. They are a partner of ours, Adam.
I'm trying better ways to segue into the break here.
I don't know if anybody picked up on the post game show. Vote and I had a keyword that I went to whenever a ad read was coming up.
What was the keyword?
Was a word. I can't tell you. See, that's the thing. I can't tell you.
Okay.
You got to go back and figure it out. But yes, we are sponsored by Ball Arena across the entire DNVR network. Or not by Ball Arena. By Ball. But you know Ball from Ball Arena. You know Ball from the aerospace technology company. You also know that Ball is the world's largest aluminum can and packaging manufacturer. Ball has actually been leading global sustainability efforts for decades. And they're adding line capacity to their 400-person plant here in town in Golden, Colorado. The demand for sustainable aluminum beverage cans is greater than ever. And chances are, if you consume a beverage in a can, it's been from a Ball aluminum can. So if you want more information, if you want to work at Ball, if you want to fill a position as a production technician at the Golden plant, check out jobs.ball.com and search for Golden, or simply text Golden to 77222. Of course, Ball makes the 8, 12, and 16-ounce can sizes for all kinds of liquids. They make cans in over 30 different sizes at facilities across the world, and the Golden plant makes 8-ounce, 12-ounce, and 24-ounce growler size cans. So check them out today. Jobsupball.com. Search for Golden if you want more info. Or text Golden to 77222. At manscaped.com, if you're a DNVR listener, drop the code DNVR. You're going to save 20% with free shipping. That's at manscaped.com. Make sure to check out the Performance Package 4.0. That's what I would recommend. It's the holy grail of men's grooming. You get the Lawnmower 4.0. You get the Shed Travel Bag as well, like a $39 value. You get the Weed Whacker, a total game changer to men's hygiene. You get the Weed Whacker, of course, nose ear trimmer as well. Tons of great stuff. The Crop Preserver, the Crop Reviver, everything you need for the best manscaping experience possible. Go to manscaped.com, drop the code DNVR, get 20% off plus free shipping. Again, at manscaped.com, when you drop the code DNVR, you're going to get 20% off plus free shipping. Finally, check out Green Mountain Dental Group if you're looking for a dentist in the Denver area. Schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with them. Get a free Sonicare toothbrush today. The keyword was not Hooper. You would think it was Hooper. Keyword was not Hooper, though. at Green Mountain Dental Group, a lot of us here at DNVR, we go there to get our teeth cleaned, to get cavities filled. Some of us have gotten our wisdom teeth out there. Schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with Green Mountain Dental Group. Get a free Sonicare toothbrush today.
Boom, we are back here. Final segment then. Let's get into this, Kale. Let's try to rapid fire till we get through all of them. Are the Suns about to pass the Jazz and Blazers as the Nuggets' main rival? This comes from Borgen BJ. This is a great question. It's funny to me because so many this is weird to say since I live online, Harrison, but I think I'm online a little bit less than most people, especially with regards to like getting irritated. Because I remember last year people being like, I'm so sick of Suns fans, this or that. Outside of the Suns and Four guy, I just like, I wasn't in contact with it that much. So you can go ahead and take that down, Kale. So to me, I was like, the Nuggets are hurt. The Suns, you know, they have players I like. I was never that, but I get this question all the time where people are like, that's the team I hate the most. I think it's a little bit more recency bias. Like people are lingering. If the Nuggets don't face them this year, I think people will forget about it. But they certainly are, it appears, climbing the ranks.
Yeah. I still think it's Portland. They're in the division. They play Portland just more than Phoenix. They've also played Portland twice in the playoffs. They played Phoenix once. And let's be honest, in the playoffs is where you really stoke the flames of a rivalry. Like that's when a rivalry really gets heated in the playoffs. You could have some back and forth moments during the regular season, but it's really all about the playoffs. So I'd say Portland won. It's funny. Utah, you would think is the rival, but there's really never been much bad blood except for the one dust up where Jokic came off the bench and they gave him that ridiculous, retroactive flagrant two where he got suspended for that game.
Right.
But there hasn't really been the bad blood there. there hasn't really even been bad blood with Phoenix. It's just the fact that they got swept. Like, that series wasn't long enough for there to even be any, like, dust-ups or anything. There was little stuff here and there. But I'd say Portland first, for sure.
To me, it's Utah first. Portland is second. But they're close. And then there's a gap. You know, Lakers, to me, I always will hate. I don't know if it's a rivalry, you know, at this point. But to me, it's if you just talk about rivalries, Gobert and Jokic, they're yin and yang of each other. Like, one predominantly offense, one predominantly defense. You got Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray, who both put it that incredible battle inside the bubble, similar guys. And then just Denver and Utah are the mountains. Like, we're literally separated by the Rocky Mountains. Like, it's
no, totally. Totally.
So to me it's Utah, and then the fact that you're right, they only played the one series, whereas with Portland you played the two, but it was a hell of a series. Seven gamer that came down to a final buzzer.
Yeah, it should be Portland, or sorry, it should be Utah, like, because of everything you just said. I just don't feel the bitterness or the hate between the two teams like I do every time the Nuggets play the Blazers. Like, I feel it when Denver plays Portland, even though a lot of the personnel has changed. Zach Collins, not in Portland anymore, by the way. But there's still, you know, Nurkic is there, Lillard, McCollum. There's still a lot of holdover, you know, compared to how much change-up there is in rosters across the league. I just don't feel really any hate between the Nuggets and the Jazz when they play each other compared to the Nuggets and Blazers.
I certainly do. I certainly do. Rudy Gobert, as long as he's there. If he gets traded,
I mean, you personally feel hate. I feel like the Nuggets don't, though.
Man, that's interesting. I wonder. I would be an interesting question to ask the Nuggets. See, the thing is, they never would go on record with this. This would be a thing you'd have to, like, off the record ask them, like, which the team you most sort of, like, feel a rivalry with.
I think my read on that is it's Portland. At least, you know, this was probably a year ago, last time I asked anybody about that. But, you know, when I did, it was definitely Portland. That could have shifted recently, but.
Yeah. They've got Blarick, the Portland native. Do you remember Blarick? He forgotten Blarick?
Blarick? Oh. Yeah.
Our Portland fan who loves Growlers.
Mr. Portland.
Mr. Portland. All right, Kale, what else we got? Jokic won MVP 21. That's a fact. He says, would anything short of a Western Conference Finals feel like a disappointment? I know we have to lower expectations with Jamal still recovering, but interested to see what you guys think. I'll take this one first this time. Here's the thing. The Nuggets title window is open. I don't know if you just said what is par. I don't know if the Western Conference Finals this year is par, just because, as you referenced, Jamal Murray is such a mystery that without him, it's hard to say, oh yeah, they should do this. That being said, in the NBA, you can't wait for the perfect opportunity. You have to take advantage of every opportunity, good or bad. And this is a thing where it's like the Nuggets don't have the perfect opportunity, but it will still suck if they don't take advantage of it. So, and give us some great memories and hopefully a title run. So to me, no, it's not a disappointment, but it's also still the standard, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, without Jamal, without Will, without PJ, there would have been very few scenarios where the Nuggets beat the Suns last year. Like, that just wasn't going to happen. But them getting swept was a disappointment. Like, that was disappointing, that it really felt like at times they kind of just rolled over that series. Part of me doesn't blame them for that, because they were just really up against it. But getting swept was a disappointment. I was talking with friend of the show Matt Moore today at Nuggets practice. And he is picking the Nuggets to win the championship. Like, he is.
Yeah.
And part of his reasoning, he told me today, is because he thinks Jamal Murray is better equipped than any athlete in the history of the NBA to come back from an ACL injury. And, like, I can honestly see where he's coming from. Like, I kind of am with him. But there's just been no historical precedent for a guy to come back and just immediately be the guy he was before the injury. So that's why I'm not with Matt on that, but, like, I could kind of see it. So, like, there are some people out there that definitely believe that, you know, a championship is still in the expectations.
Yeah, I love the take. I mean, look, I mean, I'm all for it. And if the Nuggets win, he gets to take the ultimate victory lap, right? It's such a like underdog pick. But the reasoning about Jamal Murray is mentally tough, ergo he should be back from injury quick. Maybe. I just that mental toughness is only a certain aspect of the like injury recovery period. It's not the whole enchilada. Yeah. All right, what's our last? We have one more kill. Is that right? Sounds like one more, and it comes from. I don't know. Rank the guys on the team in terms of how much Jokic enjoys playing with them. I mean, we don't know the answer to this. Like, this is one of those questions where it's like, we read body language just like you guys do in this regard, and maybe every now and then you'll hear a rumor, but I don't know. So this is purely, when we answer this question, what we're really answering is, if you were Jokic, who would you enjoy playing against? But of course, we're not Jokic, so I don't know. But if you want to give a stab at this,
I would say number one, I mean, probably Jamal.
Yeah.
Oh, probably Jamal, number one.
Yeah, easy number one. We're talking, easily.
I would say number two, I would go with Ed. Look out, everyone. Will Barton.
I think there's something to that. I think there's something to it.
Yeah.
Great chemistry. Those guys know each other.
Yeah, great chemistry. They play together forever. They both know each other's games inside and out. Kobe and Shaq, come on.
Kobe and Shaq.
Number three. I don't know where Aaron Gordon is on this list right now, but I wonder if by the end of the season, Aaron Gordon's like number three.
I on today's list for the Aaron Gordon show, which by the way, completely free. You guys should be checking these previews out. In fact, here in 7 minutes, the Michael Porter one premieres. You're not going to want to miss that one. But on the list for Aaron Gordon, I highlighted a play that Jokic got so frustrated with Aaron Gordon that he literally like throws his hands in the air and starts pouting on the court. That's how mad he was at Aaron Gordon for missing what I consider to be an extremely easy read. So I agree with you. He has the tools to be a guy I think Jokic likes playing with. But I think that he still has a lot of learning what it is that Jokic expects of him. So I wouldn't put him there. I'm curious about
By the end of the season, if those two really click.
Vlatko and Jamichael Green, I think, are very high on that list too. You're right, Murray. Monte, I imagine everybody likes playing with Monte. He doesn't really make mistakes. I think Jokic likes guys that don't make mistakes. So just guys that make mistakes, they go to the bottom of the list. Guys that don't go to the top. Mike Miller. Yeah, definitely Mike Miller on the list. Jameer Nelson too, for sure. All right, last question. We do have one more. Bucket since 88 says, real or not real, Jokic sits games out this season for rest. I won't believe it until I see it. I think it's real. I mean, I understand the sentiment. I don't think he sits out a ton of games, but I'll bet you there's 5 games this year he sits out. And look, we're not going to know whether I'm right or wrong on this because I think it'll be hamstring tightness. And it'll be like, oh, really? So I think Denver will do things where there's like minor injuries. They show up on the report and that's why he doesn't play, but it's really rest.
I think he's definitely going to sit out games this season. I really do wonder what's going to happen if they go 5-5 out of the gate and they're
every game
in the middle of the West.
Yeah.
And the play-in's right there.
Yeah.
I wonder how much he rests then. I still think he'll sit a game here, a game there. But I wonder if things change up on the fly.
The thing that sucks is usually you would rest more towards the end of the season. But that's when Murray gets back. I don't want him resting at that point. At that point, I want him playing because I want Murray playing with him. So it will be interesting just to see how all of those moving parts and all those dynamics play together. But, you know, we'll find out. Tomorrow, guys, the NBA season begins. I encourage you. You might be tuning in for the first time. You're wondering what we've been up to. Up on our YouTube page, we have player previews for all but one player, actually all but two. Michael Porter, who's debuting in 5 minutes. You're going to go straight from this over to the Michael Porter Jr. series preview. You're going to watch that one. And then tomorrow is Jokic, I believe at noon, and that will be the end of them. So if you haven't gone back and seen Aaron Gordon and Will Barton and Bones Highland, the Bones Highland one is pure joy and excitement. Even the Peter Cornelie one, we had some really interesting parts with Peter Cornelie. Go back and check those out. And if you're not a DNVR member right now, you ought to become one. I'm not kidding when I say I do the list, the film study deep dive. I probably have 100 clips in these player previews, most of those behind the paywall for DNVR members. So if you're curious on getting a little extra scouting in, the list right now, there's so much content. You could spend 3 hours just doing the list alone up on thednvr.com. So become a member, $5 a month. You get an awesome t-shirt. You get all kinds of perks on our merch and other things, our events. You're going to want to do that. We've got very good genie content. The DNVR genie, for the first time ever, pops out of a lamp. It's incredible.
Not a urn, a lamp.
Calling it an urn. So you're going to want to check all of that out. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Hit that like button on the way out, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Actually, we'll see you guys in 2 minutes for Michael Porter Jr.
If you're looking to go back to school, maybe finish up your undergrad degree, or maybe you've already gotten your undergrad, you're looking to go back to school and get another degree, MSU Denver Online is really the best option that you could ask for. Super affordable, and they give you a great education. A lot of the teachers at MSU Denver Online actually work in the field that they're teaching, so it's a great networking opportunity as well. And like I said, it's really affordable. MSU Denver Online is also offering free application fees, so you can use DNVR Sports to waive your application fee at MSU Denver Online if you're signing up for maybe classes in the upcoming fall semester. So no matter what type of student you are, no matter what type of schedule you're working, check out MSU Denver Online today. You can view their entire course list at msudenver.edu/online.